Welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Tuesday, July 8th, the 107 in the afternoon. Temperatures out there in the upper 60s to low 70s. We're starting to see a few breaks in the clouds, and that'll lead to a pretty decent later afternoon and evening. If you have any outdoor plans, looks good to go. Far cry from yesterday, where we had severe weather in the Northern Valley. So much quieter weather today. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And how's your afternoon going there, Bridget?
Seems to be going well. So, yeah, lots happening. Many reports of hail. I had several farmers comment that they were glad to see some moisture. They just wish it hadn't been in the form of white. Many of us call the white combine a hailstorm. And we were going to see some significant crop damage as those reports begin to roll in.
Yeah, there was some ping pong size hail and larger up around the Grand Forks area stretching into northwestern Minnesota. So, yeah, not good news for our ag community for sure.
No, we usually try to avoid those types of things. And we've had some stressors as of late. So I hear you talking about more heat in the forecast, but I would like it to be a little less chaotic if we could.
Well, not only more heat, but which is good for the corn, but we also have more more severe weather in the forecast as well. But not until later this week. But until then, we're going to be dealing with some pretty decent weather for the next day and a half. The rest of the afternoon, we'll have a general decrease in clouds throughout the area. Mid-70s with a northwest wind, about 5 to 10. Clear skies, nice and pleasant tonight, 55. And then as we head into Wednesday, we're looking at the southerly winds picking up a bit, about 10 to 15, highs in the mid-80s. And it's going to be uncomfortable on Thursday. That's the only way to put it. Highs around 90, but heat index readings between 95 and 100. And obviously very humid conditions. And then as a cold front approaches in the evening hours, we're expected more strong to severe storms Thursday evening into Thursday night. So not good news there. And then we're looking at some scattered showers left over, much cooler on Friday with highs into the mid-70s. So we got 70s, 80s, 90s, rain, severe weather. The only thing we don't have is a dreaded S word. And we don't need that.
Calm down.
Not yet.
that's sort of enough. You've gone too far now.
Right. Let's hope the severe weather doesn't materialize as some of our models are predicting for this upcoming Thursday evening, Thursday night. Again, we've had a pretty active severe weather season so far this year. A lot more active than the last few seasons. Now, has that
okay?
What kind of
we
toll
say
is that?
More active.
Yeah, but has that really translated to any more damage to our crops that you've seen, Bridget?
It's going to be in spots, right? Mm-hmm. Like somebody's going to lose fields due to hail. We certainly had a lot more widespread damage during the tornadoes and derecho on June 20th. Is it going to end up being a lot more damage to the crop? I'm going to say this is isolated. We do have fields where some of them just weren't great for whatever reason. I'm seeing a lot more iron chlorosis deficiency out in fields this year. And there are some folks that would say, okay, just hail on that one, but not my good canola field, because I'd be okay with that crappy looking soybean field getting taken out. So it's really variable. The corn finally did turn around and look better. It bypassed my knee, went right to my shoulder. So as far as I can tell, our corn's probably going to do pretty well. And if we look at the commodity prices on the board, there's good reasons for that. And I think that our crop that's going to turn out really well this year is probably wheat. Yes, I audibly heard all the groans from those who don't want to raise wheat, but I think we could have some good things happen with wheat. And I don't just say that because of our Here We Grow project this year, where we are, in fact, raising wheat on our 20 acres of land with Jim Mullen, where we are putting that wheat field out there for all to see. Don't forget to send me your bushel guesses. How many bushels of wheat do you think we're going to raise this year? And that way I can mark you down. So if you're the winner, you're going to get one of our rain gauges from Darter Plastics. And those rain gauges, as Dean has said before, are approved by the National Weather Service. And anytime that you get rainfall in one of our weather gauges, we'd love for you to report back to us, let you know what fell in your neighborhood. We're not afraid to report totals. And then also, I don't know how much you want to share of photos of hail damage and so forth, but you're welcome to send them over, and we'll share those with other followers as well.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I mean, I don't know. This year, it's felt more like summer. This, you know, so far during the young summer season here, compared to the last couple of couple of summers, and like you said, that does great for our corn as well.
Well, we're happily looking forward to an increase in the corn crop right now. Now, for those of you who are thinking your corn is going to be a bumper crop, and maybe there are some things you should be doing to improve that, well, let's not forget that you could, you know, be buying equipment from places like Steffes Group, because today we're going to be joined by Max Steffes for On the Auction Block. We're going to do that at 1:20 today. We've got a number of things that we want to talk about with Max, but above all, if you are already thinking ahead about what you need to do to replace equipment this year, whether it's headers, the total combine, maybe you have some tillage tools, you're going to want to check out their website at steffesgroup.com. I also think about the fact that we've had some equipment that's been damaged in storms. Funny enough, I was visiting with a farmer on Sunday night, and of course it wasn't funny to him when he said, you know, every time I look at a piece of equipment lately, I thought it didn't get damaged in the storm, and it did. Whether it's a bent boom, damage to the auger on the combine, something happened. And so folks like that are going to be shopping around thinking about changes in their equipment lineup this year, just post-storm situations. There'll be more of that, I'm afraid. So we'll see what's happening with folks. And again, we'll be able to have that discussion, particularly not just equipment, but if we want to talk land and so forth, when Max joins us here after a little bit. And then at 1:30 today, our guest is Jasmine Kelly. She is with RDO, which is one of the John Deere dealers here in town. And she and I met at an event. We met at a couple, actually. And it was the second time we met that I said, you know, why don't you just join us on radio one day, Jasmine? She deals with their e-commerce business. You know, just this morning I made a post on Twitter about how we all used to go to the auction sales because it was a social event and we really enjoyed it. And my dad would tell me not to wave at my little friends because I'd wind up buying something and have to explain myself to my mother. It wasn't me doing the buying and having to do the explaining, Dad. I'm just saying. But Jasmine can also talk about how things have changed when it comes to parts. Many of us remember driving to town after hours to pick up parts that had been left outside at the local dealership to take home, and they would just put them on your account. That's a different process now in many ways for equipment dealers. So we're going to talk about that with her, and then also there's a lot of job openings in agriculture. Yesterday we talked about a gap at the top of leadership where there's people that they're in like my age group and deans where we were on the tail end of the drought in the 80s and we just didn't all get a job in agriculture. And so now we're kind of looking at a gap for C-suite leaders and just higher management levels. But we can change that, particularly with companies like RDO who have some positions open and are looking for qualified candidates. So we're going to talk about that with Jasmine too. There's never a dull moment with things to discuss and learn. So one of them, Dean, I can sign you up for this. This is the Minnesota 4-H and FFA Crop Scout School Contest. It's on July 28th, so you have time to get ready.
Okay.
Are you up for this?
And what does it involve?
Okay. All right. You will be able to strengthen your knowledge and skill in crop diagnostics, pest and disease identification, soil science, plant pathology, and more. You're actually going to be in the field. You're going to rotate from field scenario to scenario and figure out what's going on, whether that's identifying weeds, bugs, disease. You'll be having to look at the soil types. You can probably look for nutrient deficiencies while you're out there. This is getting students ready to learn how to use what's going on in the field to help them be better crop diagnosticians. But then also, it really supports them as they go back into some of their school programs when they talk about active crop production and do further contests. If you don't have a coach, well, we can get you in on a virtual training series that will help brush you up. But also, there are 5 4-H plant science summer field days tomorrow, Lamberton, Minnesota. Next week, Wednesday the 16th, is in Waseca, Minnesota. And then July 22nd is in Chaska. So, all right, I know you've got nothing else going on, Dean.
Always up for learning. And, you know, I got an email question from one of my friends down in Nebraska. I didn't have an answer. I said, I will ask Bridget. So they're at the peak of the corn growing season right now, and they've had the perfect weather down just to our south. they claim that if you go out in the field, especially, I think they said after dark, I'll have to double check my email, you could actually hear the corn growing. Is that a myth or is that actually true?
I feel like you better have really good ears, and most farmers I know do not, due to non-saddle guard calves, loud guns, and stereos.
Right.
So, for the most part, could you hear corn grow? No, but it's way easier to do a visual. And if you remember last year in our Here We Grow cornfield, mm-hmm. we spray painted corn plants and then would wait 24, 48 hours and come back and look, and you could then physically see the new plant growth on the plants past the point of the spray paint. So okay. I prefer the visual method
sure.
than I do the thing to it.
Okay. You know how some of those myths spread and, you know.
Today is also Cow Appreciation Day. You can feel free to hug your cow if you'd like. I wouldn't try to pet the fluffy ones, you know, like in Yellowstone. They're going to get you. But if you really have a great relationship with your cow, let them know it's their Appreciation Day.
We'll see there, Addison. Now you've got a chore to do after work. You got to go out and hug hug a cow today.
Can someone send me the GPS coordinates for like the nearest cow to me?
Sure.
I can help. I can't guarantee a milking shorthorn, Addison, but I'm pretty sure I can help you.
Anything will do, but a milking shorthorn would be preferred. We can work on that, though.
We can. So cute. Let's not forget, we're going to give away a $10,000 grocery packet or a nomination qualification for a grocery package today, too, Dean. Maybe we'll do that later, or are we going to do that now?
You know, Addison, you want to do that now? Give our potential contestant here time. So today's qualifier, are you ready? Nancy, I'm just going to say it like it looks, St. Louis. It could be St. Louis. But Nancy, St. Louis in Moorhead. Nancy, you've got 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call 701-293-9000 to be a qualifier for our $10,000 grocery giveaway that we're going to be drawing for this Thursday evening. Again, that name is Nancy St. Louis in Moorhead. If you know Nancy, shoot her a text. Say, hey, you got about 9 minutes to call here, 701-293-9000 to become a qualifier for who doesn't need $10,000 in groceries? I mean, for a full year. Boy, especially if you got a family. Oh, I know how my son eats. He could eat that. He could eat that in about 6 months.
And if folks don't hear their name called right now, you can go to the Snooze Mattress Company this afternoon. Janae from the Coffee Club will be there from 3 to 5. So you can get registered in person to win that prize as well, guys.
You know, I need a new mattress. That's a new place in town. I've got to go check that out. Maybe Janae can.
There you go.
Maybe I'll go. Now, can I go out and qualify under like John Doe, or that probably isn't in the rules, is it?
I'm not your priest or your mother. Okay. Please don't tell me the after effect.
Okay. Sounds good. Oh, man.
Great.
Well, we've got Max coming up here after the break. We're going to check markets here. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Max. And we'll be going over a couple other ag topics as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Now, see, I could see Bridget see Bridget doing that. Bridget, I think you could do that as a little side hustle.
I can talk that fast, but I don't do it in the chant.
Okay.
I'll bridge it.
Say that again, Max.
I said we could send you to auction school. They'd teach you how.
They do, and in a really short order, because auctioneer school is only a few weeks long, right?
Usually about 10 days, yeah. Teach you the basics, and then away you go.
Okay. This is completely off track from anything we have talked about, so why wouldn't I ask? And also, listeners can ask questions on the JLA insurance phone line of 701-293-9000. But, Max, I had read recently that the national championships were held for auctioneers. Have you ever participated? And is that for all auctioneers? Do you see that's primarily for livestock auctioneers? What do you know about it?
So in the auctioneer world, there's three kind of circles of championships. There's the World Automobile Auction Contest. There's the Livestock Auction Contest. And then there's the International Auctioneer Contest. And there's a handful of people, I think 4 or 5 auctioneers that have actually won all three. Grandpa Bob won the World Livestock Contest in 1972, and Dad actually won the International Contest in 1995. The only contest that I've participated in is the North Dakota State Championship, which I won this year. So,
very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But, the international contest actually next week, next Tuesday, Dad and I and a few other people in our crew got some issues here. Test 1-2.
Oops.
Doing better now.
There you go.
We'll be headed to Chicago for the National Auctioneer Convention conference and show where there will be a contest. Again this year. I'm going to pop over on the other side, Bridget.
He's having a little mic problem over here, Bridget.
That's
so
okay.
We're going to quick switch him over to the other mic. Sorry, Max.
Wow.
you got to love live radio, right?
Hey, I'm used to this. This is like running out of batteries when you're behind the microphone in a topper truck. Here we are. Can you hear me now, Bridget?
Here we are. Yes, I can. Okay, that's awesome, because I think when we think about auctioneers, most of us don't even realize the level of professionalism that you go to when you're hitting those national and international championships. Very cool.
It is. It
and
is.
That you won.
Yeah, it is neat. And Dad and Grandpa, they got a lot more practice in their day, you know, with the live on-site auction sales being the only avenue to sell assets. And now, you know, we did 600 auctions last year, and I would tell you that 520 of them were online. So I don't quite get the opportunity to big call like those two did, but I can still make my way around a microphone for sure.
So that kind of directs our question today, too. When people ask you, are you busy? Because I get that all the time. Are you busy this time of year?
Sure.
But yours really varies.
It really does. You know, fall was always historically always the busy time of the year spring was always a busy time of year for us right before the planting started. And that's transitioned so much nowadays. A lot of it has to do with the tax code, the 179 deductions that farmers take advantage of and business owners take advantage of. So basically for the layman that's listening, you can go out there and purchase, I think last year was $1.2 million worth of equipment. And if you made $1 million on the farm, you could basically offset your income. So it's a huge advantage from a tax perspective to go out there and to buy equipment at year end. So as a result of that, sellers try to position themselves towards the year end. Dealership groups oftentimes will position themselves with a sale late in the year. And December has honestly become one of our busiest times of the year. July, we're kind of, as you know, Bridget, with markets, weather markets, nobody knows where the crop's going to be come harvest time. It's kind of a period of uncertainty from a market perspective, but we still do a fair amount of auction sales in July. I think we have about 36 auctions to conduct this month.
Oh, I would agree with that. I think that time frame has really shifted. And much like you said, December's just, that's probably the highest money laundering month in farming, because like you said, we're doing the deductions, we're by prepaying fertilizer, we're taking care of seed. I think there's a lot that happens in there that most of us don't even realize. And do you think that's generational? Do you think you see some of your first and second year farmers doing less of it than your more established farmers? Kind of what's that trend that maybe it looks like?
You know, I don't know if it's related to age as much as it is business savviness. I think if you're a producer that's looking at the numbers, which hopefully all producers are, you're going to be taking advantage of that if you need machinery, if you have machinery needs. There are some farmers that take it to an extreme, and Bridget, you know that, you know the culture. Farmers never want to pay tax, and they might go out there and spend $500,000 just so they don't have to pay tax. And it's kind of like, I kind of scratch my head and go, wait a minute, you just spent $500,000 to save $300,000 or whatever it is. But God dang it, Uncle Sam isn't getting it. That's the only thing that counts.
I know those folks. You've got some statistics for us that really prove that point of what's going on lately in your world over at Steffes. Care to share a few?
Yeah, well, we just talked about the number of events and stuff this month, and you know, June was tremendous for us from a auction activity perspective. I think we did over 72 auctions was the number, so that's over two a day. July things kind of slow down a little bit right before small grain harvest is kind of when things will heat up again towards the end of the month. So this month, I think 37 is the count on July for auction sales, and that's across all over the United States, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Canada, Saskatchewan. There's a number of land real estate events as well. There's about 10,000 acres of land that's coming available on our auction sales before the end of the year, including a really cool ranch project out in western North Dakota, the Sinar Ranch. It's a 4,200-acre property south of Watford City. I'll actually be headed out that way on Thursday. I'm looking forward to that. And, You know, you talk about cows and stuff. Next Monday, we'll be out at the fairgrounds, Dad and I, at the Achievements Day auction, which is something that our family's been doing for, gosh, I don't know how long. As long as Grandpa Bob was selling, probably 60, 65 years. So that should be fun. Are you going out there, Bridget?
So, you know, I probably will get a chance to, but I think there's a lot of folks, and Dean, this is maybe where I should have given you the cowbell to ring for something that doesn't make
you should
sense
come out
right
there,
away.
Dean.
No doubt.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Dean, do you know what we're talking about when we say the premium auctions?
Where's it at, first off?
The fairgrounds. So the
River, here at the fairgrounds.
Yeah,
okay.
The 4-H. So a lot of the 4-H kids will raise rabbits, mm-hmm. pigs, gosh, what else, Bridget? Pretty much everything that 4-H kids raise.
Well, my son is in town. I bet he'd love that.
Yeah, it's cool. You know? I like the Cass County one, Bridget, and because it gets a lot of the city kids involved. There's more and more city kids
yeah.
that are
right.
that are starting to get involved in that 4-H. And we're, of course, our job is to be the auctioneer and to sell the Blue Ribbon livestock for a bunch of money. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
Yeah, because as a kid, you've spent all this time raising up this 4-H animal. Now you have the opportunity to go ahead and have it auctioned off, and those profits can roll back into your 4-H or FFA project for you to continue on down the road. They're a pretty neat way to do it. And
it really is.
For you guys, as Steph is Auction Max, to take the time to be a part of the 4-H premium auction, hey, thanks. That means a lot to those kids that have been working so hard to show off their blue ribbon win.
You bet. And we view it as a way to give back to the audience that takes care of us and puts food on our table. Most of those kids are farm kids, and their moms and dads, of course, work hard on the farm, and oftentimes are our clients and customers. And we just view it as an opportunity to give back to those folks in the communities around Cass County.
So I love that we always start out with a plan of what we're going to talk about, and then we randomly go through things and hit most of the plan, and we kind of did pretty good. But Max, what didn't we talk about today that you want to make sure listeners hear?
Oh man, I don't know. I think, you know, when you bounce around a little bit, that makes good radio, don't you think, Bridget?
It does. It makes
I think
it more
we
fun. We stay on track, sorta. Yeah. But all right, Max, for folks that want to go look for you, stephisgroup.com. As Addison, our sound engineer, says, he can scroll the website and he never really gets to the bottom because there's so many good things up and coming.
We like to keep it that way. And folks, if you're thinking about selling some land or equipment this fall, we're the folks to visit with. We'd love to sit down and talk to you about your operation, your farm, your business, and tell you about what we can do for you.
And you are experts. In fact, I just texted your counterpart, Brad Olstead, this morning asking him for a question on the chisel plow. So thank you so much for joining us today, Max.
You bet, Bridget. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Max.
Yep.
All right. And we've got another guest coming up, Bridget.
We do. We're going to have Jasmine Kelly with RDO join us. Did we get our winner? Did we get our caller for our great grocery
Addison?
Giveaway?
No. So Nancy St. Louis of Moorhead, you ran out of time. Man, well,
she's going to be very disappointed. So she better dash on over to the new bed store, Snooze. I'll
yes.
get the details for her so she can get there because I don't think she wants to miss out on this.
No, no doubt about
All
it.
Right. Don't forget, when we come back from bottom of the hour news, if you're not listening to the news, you should be calling Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm to make sure that you're getting all of your farm and ranch cybersecurity covered. That's techsupportfarm.com. We'll be right back. We're raising wheat this year for our Here We Grow project. And I love wheat, even though so many other people do not, but I really do. And the partners that we have to raise our wheat this year are the good people of Ellingson Company. Just remember that when it comes to what's going on in your soil, you want it most productive as you can. And how can you increase your productivity index? You can look at tiling. So paying the highest tax is not getting you maximum yield. So tiling could be the answer to help you. And Ellingson Company is there. And then Kodiko Fuels and Propane. These are folks that are remembering that no matter the season, planting, harvest, dead of winter, your farm doesn't stop. They don't. They're there for deliveries. Right now, they might be wanting to talk to you about transports. If you're thinking about doing an entire transport of fuel in order to be ready to go for that push for fall harvest where you need far more diesel on the farm or maybe some of your bulk oils, etc., talk to Kodiko Fuels. All right, we are joined today in studio by Jasmine Kelly. She is with RDO. If you have questions as a listener, you can reach us on the JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. When Jasmine and I talked about her coming on air, she mentioned e-commerce. Okay, Jasmine, can you describe to us what are you doing with e-commerce, with RDO? How does that affect us out in the farm life, you might say?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. So I am on our e-commerce team at RDO Equipment. And what we are doing and working on right now is how we can help our farmers do smooth transactions online. So we are coming to a new wave of users that want to have that on their phone, check availability in any of our stores, search if the part matches their machine, and buy right there in their handheld device. So we are reaching out with all of our vendors, making sure that we have adequate information. We're reaching out to those farmers that we are helping service. And then we're just asking them, too, what they love about the platform, how we can better fix the platform. And we just want to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Okay. So literally, you're like the Amazon warehouse for me to come in to find the parts that I need from RDO.
Oh, we're trying to be. Yes.
And Jasmine, are you finding that more and more of, I mean, obviously, you know, people my age and Bridget age, you know, we're kind of old school a little bit, but we were kind of forced into using the technology. Are you finding that now, even in our ag community, even some of the older farmers are more geared towards, like you said, all right, now I can get this all on my device and do, you know, smart shopping from my phone. Is that becoming a little more widespread now, accepted?
Yeah, I would say it's becoming a lot more accepted, especially since we're reaching out to those farmers and asking them what hardships they are having. Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, the screen isn't large enough? Are they having trouble finding the part that they need for their machine? So we're just making sure that we're having those connections and asking those questions. And I think that's helped a lot. And we've gotten a lot of great feedback of people that maybe previously were not wanting to use an online platform.
So you're there to hold their hand if they need it.
Yeah, I'm a great hand holder.
That's awesome.
Okay, when you said that about feedback, that was one of the questions I wanted to ask. What's some of the feedback that you've gotten and you've said, okay, we really need to implement this into our app and what we do?
Yeah, so with that, we currently don't have an app. It is just an online platform. Oh. We're hoping to get there. We want to be that Amazon. But some of the feedback we have heard is just to make sure when we are creating that, that it does look nice on a phone, because a lot of our farmers are not going to whip out a laptop while they're sitting there next to their machine. So we need to make sure that the user ability is there. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we've worked on, is just keeping that mindset that this needs to be good and viewable on multiple platforms.
So I've got some detail questions. This is sort of the replacement of sending your kids to town after baseball practice to pick up parts outside the John Deere store's door. Would that be a fair statement?
I think that's fair, yes.
And how do we pay for it? If it's an online platform, are we using like PayPal? Is this going to John Deere Finance? Do we have to have a credit card on file? How do you make this a little bit easier for us to do those transactions smoothly?
So most people are using their actual credit cards online. So they'll create an account, and they can either do a consumer account or they can do a business account. If they have a business account, we can set them up with an account in our accounting. That way they can just use the payment on file. But if you're a guest or a commercial, usually they're just using their credit card.
So how big or small? I mean, I'm sure I can order nuts and bolts that get shipped directly to my house, but all right, I need a drive shaft
for
a combine.
You know what?
How's that happening?
It's happening. So we have actually started selling actual whole goods. So the whole unit, we started with lawnmowers. So that's super exciting. And we're starting on a small scale, but we do want to be those people that one day, if you want to buy a combine online, you sure can.
You said that about lawnmowers. So really, when we think about RDO, most folks go, oh, I don't need to buy a tractor today. But it's not just that.
Correct. Yeah, it's lawnmowers. We have parts for multiple different other specialty products and short lines. I would just say we are more geared toward the agriculture side.
Sure, absolutely. Well, here's one thing that I've always been told by ag equipment salesmen, and that is, I may sell you a combine, but if your wife calls and wants a much better lawnmower, I will drop everything to take care of her because she also pays your bill. So never overlook the sale of a lawnmower.
Correct.
So I'm sure you've got this part set up where delivery time frames are given, in-stock parts are given. So I know that when I place my order, when is it coming to me? What's my downtime going to look like?
For that, it depends on the availability. We'd have a great team that will reach out if it does extend or if anything is on back order. So they'll let you know that time frame. You should get an email as well with tracking once that has shipped. So that email will be sent directly to you.
Will you schedule service technicians to come out to me on that, or do I still need to call the store?
We do. You can actually go ahead and ask, but we don't have an actual service to have the service tech come directly out. So we still are maintaining that relationship when it comes to service on that aspect.
Perfect. Speaking of service, I bet you need people from time to time, such as employees. What does that look like for RDO today?
Yeah, for RDO, and one thing that's great is when you think of agriculture and how we all tie this in together is there are so many different opportunities. A lot of times folks think of the guy in the tractor. However, there are so many other opportunities to help our farmers, such as e-commerce. We have marketing, IT. If you know somebody that loves to be on computers and can help others, we're always looking for that. Communications. If you know somebody that loves to write, sometimes we have those customer stories where we can reach out to a farmer and share their story. So it does kind of, there's so many opportunities to help our farmers to tell their story, make sure they're getting the best.
Okay. These are not the traditional jobs that I think of when somebody talks to me about RDO. I think about technicians, parts counters, that type of thing. But you said the e-commerce team. What would someone be doing if they join your team, Jasmine?
Yeah, so it depends. Our team is made up of a few individuals currently. So my specific role as a product data specialist is I reach out to those vendors and make sure that we have adequate information, whether that is dimensions, the weight, because we need to know what we're charging the customer if we're shipping that, and then just product description, pictures if they have that. So there's a few of us doing that. And then we actually have a team that does the orders as well. So when those orders are coming through, they're making sure everything's available. They're sending it to whatever store the customer wants to pick up at, or they're making sure it's shipped directly. So we have all of those flowing parts that work together.
Literally, you are made up of parts. You have parts of a business. If we didn't get all the right parts, none of this business would flow smoothly. How's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Jasmine, I really appreciate you coming into the studio today to visit. Any last minute comments for listeners who you want to make sure they hear you say?
Yeah, I think just think of all the opportunities, especially if you're somebody interested in the ag field. Think of things that you like to do and maybe how you could put that to use and help out our farmers.
I tell you what, you prompted the idea of me. I have two different folks that might have an interest in working for you in different capacities that I'd never considered before. I'm going to share your website with them. And then additionally, when you guys are done, you and Dean should dash on down to Snooze Mattress Company because Janae's going to be there from 3 to 5 so you can get registered for the great grocery giveaway.
Sounds great.
I just got that information.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
thank
Jasmine.
Thank you, Jasmine.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to do a recap of the weather and time out when we're expecting the possibility of more severe weather this week. Not what we want to hear, but we'll have that and a few ag topics when we come back. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. We've got a few minutes left and want to run down a quick recap of the weather. We've got temperatures out there right now in the low 70s. It's not a bad afternoon. Low humidity, partly cloudy skies. We'll continue to see those clouds decrease. And we'll see more sunshine throughout the rest of the afternoon with mid-70s we'll top out at. And then as we head into tonight, mid-50s. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer, mid-80s, breezy out of the south. And then it's going to be a sauna here on Thursday with highs around 90, but heat index readings will be between 95 and 100, high humidity, and then a cold front will approach towards evening. And between about 6 p.m. and midnight, it looks like a good chance for storms, and some of those are expected to be on the severe side, unfortunately. And then cooler weather to end the week back in the 70s. And this weather report is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. So I know that we don't want to hear about severe weather. We had some yesterday in the Northern Valley and Northwest Minnesota, and it looks like that'll be valley-wide on Thursday evening into Thursday night. So all the ingredients are there for a pretty decent outbreak of severe weather. We'll see if it comes together. Let's hope it doesn't for once.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's hope that things settle down. I mean, we're even at a point where our crop doesn't want to see any heavy rainfall because we can lay that down. with the rain just knocking it over and with windfall, et cetera. But we're going to see what it looks like. The other thing to keep in mind is this is that time of year where we need to start scouting and thinking about pests. Soybean aphids, if we were slightly drier, we'd probably have certainly a lookout for spider mites, but soybean aphids are not uncommon. We generally start to see them in that mid to end of July timeframe. Some places have already started scouting. They're not seeing at economic threshold levels yet. What that means is when you turn over the new leaves on your soybean plant, and if you see the lime green tiny bugs moving on there, that's a soybean aphid. When you get to 250 aphids per plant, and that sounds like a lot, but they are tiny bugs. And when you see that, that means that you have to start paying attention to, are there the natural predators in the atmosphere taking care of them, meaning are lace wings or lady beetles eating them? And if the population gets too high, do you have to take preventative measures where you need to go in and spray that soybean field to eliminate the aphids? So we're going to start monitoring for those. There will be other pests as well that tend to come out. We have not seen much for grain aphids right here. I know that that can vary by different places. We also have had folks talking about tar spot in corn. Further south, I have not had anybody say that they've had any confirmed tar spot yet in our corn up, let's see, into North Dakota. But that can change really fast. Tar spot moves with southerly winds. That is a fungus that will affect the plants, and we usually see that later in season. So it's a little harder to catch, and it's also a lot harder to treat. So pestilence season is here. You got to start looking for it and making sure we keep a healthy crop, because we may not have a great crop, but let's have a healthy crop. How's that?
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, Mother Nature's trying to cooperate, but when we get these hailstorms, that's not helping. Or the wind events.
No, that... No, and personally speaking, I'd probably take a half inch of rain at my place, but I don't want to take that in a harsh manner,
right.
You could say.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. For Bridget, myself, have a great rest of the afternoon. Don't go anywhere, though. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.